Hey everybody, Luke Foster here. Mike graciously allowed me a few minutes to talk about my Kickstarter. It is for a graphic novel called The Center of Somewhere, Volume 2, All Over But the Shouting. I'm looking to raise $2,000 to collect the last 2 years of the comic into a 112-page graphic novel. It'll be full color, it's all ages comedy, and I have 19 different back rewards with a variety of different combinations of print rewards, digital rewards. You can get this book, you can get old books, you can get volume 1 of the series, you can get copies of other books that I've done, you can get original art from me, etc. Just go to Kickstarter and search for Center of Somewhere, or Center of Somewhere, All Over But the Shouting. And any support you can give me, I would very much appreciate it. The Kickstarter ends on Thursday, March 3rd. It's about 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. So you have until then if you're interested in checking it out. And if you do, I would really very much appreciate it. Thank you very much. Thank you for checking it out. And I thank you, Mike, for this time. Take care. Bye.
Hello.
Hello.
Wait, gotta give it about 2 seconds before the internet goes down.
Oh, you sound good.
Yeah, the quality.
Oh, your voice.
Oh, my voice sounds horrible because of your internet. It's your internet.
There, now it's good. I have good quality.
Yeah. Well, no, you don't.
Oh. My microphone is working fine.
No, I'm sick.
You're gonna
have to read my lines.
Okay. I have to do my best mic impression.
Yeah.
Hello and welcome. I'm not very good at impressions.
That sounds like Bill Bulmer to me.
Yeah. Hello. 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 I can't do it. That was my best attempt.
It's your own fucking script. What do you mean?
All right.
Just
hello.
Read off the goddamn script.
Fine, fine. Hello. My name is Mike Myers, and welcome to Geek Brunch Podcast.
I never fucking introduced myself. God
you
damn
always,
it.
You always skip that line. And I am Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to episode... Enter episode number here. I usually kind of just use the script as a guideline. I don't really actually use it. So this would be interesting.
Yeah, I'll throw you off.
So, Bill, how was your week? Oh, good, Mike. How is yours? It was good. I tried out some new food at a restaurant. I put chili on everything.
Okay.
That sounds delicious. We don't have chili here.
That's pretty good, Bill. That's a little better.
Thank you.
You just have to stop being so damn shy.
I was too embarrassed. It was because I was too focused on the voices. I should have just focused on the content.
That's right.
And know that people would... connect the dots in their mind.
That be true.
So how are things? Welcome to Geek Brunch, episode something something.
It's up there. I think we're on almost near, what, 300? I don't know. 200?
It's definitely two something.
I'd look, but I'm editing right now. Live. Sorry about that.
So I thought you were sick last week.
I was.
It's the same sickness?
Yeah. I canceled last week because I was sick. Actually, I got back from business travel. Deathly ill. And this is like the aftermath.
Gotcha.
So last week was the apocalypse. And this is the post-apocalypse. See?
That's my favorite part of the apocalypse.
That's right. The post-apocalypse.
Post-apocalypse.
You like that part.
Yeah.
Everything's already at shit.
I like the getting to shit. I like the after shit.
You like the after shit. It like just like real life.
Yeah, like your life. Like the
Especially
glow.
when you
I
don't
like
eat any meat.
the
You
nice
like
warm
the
glow.
after shit
Yeah, the nice
better.
warm glow of the after shit.
You feel good.
You brought back a virus from wherever you were at, huh?
Yeah.
You cross country?
I was cross country fighting zombies.
You brought it back from the coast.
I
You're
did.
patient zero.
I am. A matter of fact, my face is starting to develop this weird cross on it. I don't understand. I think I'm going to be flying to Chicago next.
They have better worn barb. Put on a
Yeah.
chastity belt or something. Cover all orifices.
All over every orifice.
You better, yeah. Take,
I think if the cross don't find an orifice, they make their own.
yeah. You better take Harley to the boarding place or whatever.
Yeah.
Get her out of there.
But before I go all cross mode, like before it's a fully developed cross, I think I'm gonna go to your house. But you got a con happening soon?
Couple months.
Well, go early. Contaminate everybody. So like Chicago is huge now. You live in Chicago. You got Chicago PD, Chicago MD,
Chicago Fire.
Chicago Fire. When's the Chicago Podcasters coming out?
I saw that. I don't know. I don't think I was invited. Technically, I'm in the suburbs, so people in the city don't like suburban people.
Oh, really? Are you too pretentious?
They were very pretentious.
You don't eat meat.
Don't eat meat. I'm drinking tea right now. And
Barb
I'm
talked to Micah the other day, and he was at what is that damn fucking furniture place where you have to build shit your own? IKEA. He was
IKEA,
at IKEA. He likes IKEA. We were at a con one time. He took us to fucking IKEA. What the fuck is this shit? So he's at IKEA and he's looking for a fish paste.
yeah.
What the fuck?
I've had that before. We talked about it
That's
many times
yeah,
on
I
the
know
show.
that. It's just nasty.
Fish in a tube. Last time I was at IKEA, they didn't have any fish in a tube. I was disappointed. Mine doesn't have the good kind. He has like a lobster in a tube and crab in a tube or something.
Yeah.
I just get fish eggs in a tube. It's
Have
a
you had
tube
any
like
salmon
toothpaste.
eggs over the break? Some
Did
balls of fire?
I? No, I did not eat any salmon eggs.
I was so disappointed to find out that
Bait shop was
can't,
closed.
and you're not supposed to.
Yeah, it's amazing that you can't eat fish bait.
Well, I mean, it's so damn, it looks the same.
I'm sure it's fine. What's the worst that could happen?
I don't know.
That'd be sad. Next episode. This is the memorial episode. Bill unfortunately passed from the cross virus after eating
Yeah, you have to eat it.
tainted fish bait. Yeah, IKEA. I was just actually in IKEA the other day. I actually had a nice meal at IKEA.
What do you eat there?
I had the veggie meatballs, the veggie Swedish meatballs.
They make those?
Yeah, they make those. They were good. I liked them.
Fucking.
Have regular
Is it
meatballs
out
too.
of tofu?
I
Or
can't remember what it
beans?
was based with.
Probably
Based.
some kind of bean.
Yeah, it might have been a bean base. Was good though. It had a nice sauce on it.
What'd you buy at IKEA?
A chair. Bought a chair at IKEA.
For what?
For my daughter's room.
Going
to IKEA is not a big deal because we have one that's like 10 minutes away, so.
But don't you have to sell your soul and be a member or something?
No, they don't have membership there. I don't think I got any nice fish. Well, I got pickled herring, but that's about it. Delicious pickled herring.
Delicious. Oh,
I did get something interesting from the grocery store the other day. Quite delicious.
What?
Goat cheese, pumpkin flavored goat
even
cheese.
Eat that shit. Barb will try flavor. A lot of. Barb will put fucking testicles in her mouth like fucking Rocky Mountain oysters, and she won't eat goat cheese.
She's missing out. Yeah, goat cheese with pumpkin spices.
I guess I would try goat cheese because I put a ball in my mouth too. It was awful.
It can't be much worse than putting a ball in your mouth.
What does goat cheese taste like? It's strong though, isn't it?
It's like cheese, but it has like a very
shit taste to it.
Earthy taste to it.
Like it's been processed through somebody's asshole.
Like it came out of a goat's boob.
A goat boob?
A goat boob.
A spoiled goat boob. Like it's spoiled milk.
Like a hairy goat nipple.
Oh, nasty. You ate that sucker.
Squeezed right out of a hairy goat nipple.
You ate it all up.
Sprayed it right in your mouth. It's good. Mm. They tend to put some kind of flavoring a lot of times in with the goat cheese to try and mask the goatiness of it.
Why did you buy it if you have to mask it? Why do you put things in your mouth that you have to...
you have to mask the flavor up?
Yeah, I don't get it.
I'll eat just plain old goat cheese. I like the flavor. I like the earthy.
Is Melanie eat goat cheese?
No, she will not go near that stuff. Neither will my kids. No,
I bet you get some nasty breath after eating that shit. Yeah,
goat breath.
So you're the only one in the family that will eat that.
Yep.
Do you just eat it to like be snobbish? Like, look what I can eat, everybody. Yes.
I'm going to have some pumpkin flavored goat cheese.
With some pickled salmon. That's why I live in the suburbs. Chicagoans can't stand me.
Yes, I hate the city. I had to live in the suburbs. I will drink my tea and eat my goat cheese.
Do you have a porch? What the fuck was that? Were you sipping goat cheese?
I was sipping my goat tea.
right out of the nipple?
Yes.
You got the sheep.
Yeah, right, the sheep. What do goats do?
I don't know. I don't know what they do.
Bleat. I just put a little. I like to put a little goat's milk in my tea.
Are you serious?
No. I don't know if I've seen just regular goat, like goat's milk, like a nice glass of goat's milk.
That's disgusting.
That's disgusting. It's probably thick too.
Probably.
Smell like ass.
That's why I think you like to eat ass.
To eat the ass.
That's why.
This cheese is delicious.
I can't laugh. You can't make me laugh. Man.
Smell this cheese. Does it remind you of anything?
Now I know the truth. You're really like a fucking, you like to toss salad, don't you? And that food is kind of the closest you can get to it.
That's right. I'm a married man.
So.
That's how we do it in the suburbs.
All right.
We didn't get any snow.
Yeah, we didn't either. We're supposed to today.
Yeah, I think we got some tomorrow or something. But this one was cool because it went like south of us and north of us, but like missed us completely.
Or Daryl stuck in his house. It's like Escape from New York. They won't let him outside.
What's he going to eat?
Ass.
But he's eating healthy now, isn't he?
He's trying. He said it was harder when he's locked up in his house. And I said, why is that harder? Because
it should be easier.
You think that you can't eat junk, and if you buy the right groceries, you're...
Yeah, that's all you have. That's all you can eat.
But I guess he's got plenty of junk in his house.
Well, that's the problem. That's my tip of the day for those of you who are trying to watch what you eat.
Eat goat cheese?
Don't have the junk in your house. Just fill up your fridge with goat cheese. And then you'll be like, I'm hungry. See, if Daryl had goat cheese in his fridge, he'd be like, oh, I'm starving. Then he'd look, oh, all I have is goat cheese.
That works.
Right. Just like goat cheese and apples. I guess I'll just
I ate an apple this morning right before Retrocast. And it was an awful apple. No, it just didn't taste sweet. I like sweet apples, man.
What kind of apple was it?
It was a Gala. But this... It's fucking like a bag of apples, right? You know how they come in the fishnets?
Yeah.
You buy apples and they're in the fishnet. And, like black canary fishnets. And, some of them are good and some of them aren't. How do you explain that?
I don't know. That's strange. Because usually... Maybe the bag's getting old and those are just the first to turn.
I don't think... It didn't taste old. Like, the apples usually taste nasty when they're old.
Yeah, they get, like, soggy kind of.
No, this was crispy and stuff. It was all wet and juicy. It just didn't have It didn't have any, like, sweetness to it.
Maybe it was probably just too young.
Too young.
Yeah, the young ones are pretty wet and juicy, but... Sometimes they're not very sweet.
That sounds nasty.
That's why I gotta just go with the Granny Smiths. I like that. I like it when it's nice and tart.
See, that's tart. That's not sweet.
I like the tart.
And those are usually only used for pies.
No.
Yeah. Because they're good cooking apples.
That's because they're nice and firm.
They're firm. But they're not good.
They're delicious.
I like Fuji or Gala. Or like, you're in the tart area. That tastes like ass.
I like the tart area. I don't like all your pretentious apples.
You don't like normal apples.
Gala.
So you'd rather have a dirty ass than a clean ass.
Which... Jazz. I don't need one of these fancy frou-frou asses.
Yeah, just want it nice and filthy, like after a dump.
Nice and tart.
That's what it's about. And you've been listening to Geek Brunch. This is, what number are we on?
I don't know. I'd have to look it up. And that would require me typing something.
And that means your internet would go out of to shit.
Yeah, let's see. Geek Brunch. How do you spell this? Brunch. Brunch. Podcast.com. What do you mean internet service provider is down? Oh, wait. Here it goes.
See, I knew it.
It's loading. 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 Oh, wait. I think my dial-up... It's not working. Oh, here we go. Episode 16, I Love Dick. Oh, wait, that's
that was a long
Mike's
time
Mike's Weekly ago. Reads.
I said that. I love Dick.
Mike's Weekly Reads. I love Dick. Oh, wait.
I didn't
DK.
say that. It's DK3.
DK3.
I love Dick.
Looks like it says Dick when you read it quickly. Looks like, I love Dick! Exclamation point.
Yeah, you probably got hard just thinking about it. So what number are we on? Oh no, we really did lose the internet.
Let's see, two. I don't know. I can't find our show anymore because there's all these other shows. Wait, 237. I think we might be 230. Yeah, 238.
There you go.
Episode 238.
We're not even close to 300.
No, we have a long way to go. Almost 250, though. That's a quarter of a century.
Yeah, there you go. So, what have you been up to these past few weeks?
Well, I was off for Christmas. Did we talk after Christmas?
Yeah, we did.
All right.
We had one episode after Christmas.
So since Christmas, been working. We got a
Same
new
here.
cat. Oh yeah, we got a new cat.
And what's his name?
His name is Jasper.
Jasper.
Although I like Baxter.
And you lost.
Well, I thought of Baxter after we agreed on Jasper.
Ah. What has Jasper been used in? I've never heard of Jasper. I mean, I've heard the name, but I can't think of anybody named Jasper or any animal named Jasper. Is it after a character? Where did the name come from?
My sister actually suggested it. I don't know, it's a name.
It's a name.
Where does it come from? I don't know.
Does he look
Jasper.
like a Jasper?
I guess so. He looks like a cat to me. Here you go. Comic book Jasper. I'm gonna find a Jasper in comic books.
I don't think there is.
Comic book store in Jasper, Indiana. Here we go. Jasper Sitwell. Graduated top of his class at Shield.
Oh, so you got a shield agent.
Yeah, Shield. That's it. He was named after the Shield agent. Jasper Sitwell. Trained by Nick Fury personally. He's currently a zombie.
There you go. So you could tell your sister what you named him after. A shield agent that got bit and became a zombie. He failed miserably.
He's created by Stan Lee and Howard Purcell. First appeared in Strange Tales 144.
That was the only one that came up. You did a Google Jasper on in comics. Are you there?
I'm there. I'm reading about Jasper. He's portrayed somewhere by Maximiliano Hernandez. Maximiliano Hernandez, that's an
Is that an
interesting name.
actor?
Yeah.
Also, Jasper Sitwell is in the show then.
He must be.
But
They just, well, yeah.
I don't watch that show. You watch it, you should know.
I do watch that show. I don't remember him. Maybe I haven't seen that one.
Maybe Jasper's not very memorable.
Apparently he was in the Winter Soldier too. He was one of the hostages taken by Batroc.
By Bad Rock.
Batroc.
The Liefeld character?
Yeah, Batroc.
So now you're crossing universes.
Fascinating. I like Bat. Batroc was always. Oh, I got a good Batroc story. I forgot. I was going to mention this on a previous episode. So, excuse me while I clear my throat on the live microphone.
Oh, you're going to talk about Rob Liefeld's creation?
Yes, Rob Liefeld's Bad Rock. So I've always liked Bad Rock.
You've always liked him.
Yes. And not just because he's like the thing.
Because he's a kid that's like a rock. He's different, though. He's a little more immature than the thing.
Yeah, and he's not as troubled. Anyway, so I've always liked him. So long ago, probably, I don't know, probably like 10 years at this point or more, there was a cool Bad Rock page on eBay where they didn't know, the artist wasn't listed. Whoever was selling it didn't know who the artist was. But it was a cool page, so I said, hey, what the hell, I'll buy it. And it was really cheap, probably because there was no artist listed. So I got it, and I've had it for all these years, these 10 or 12 years, and I never knew who the artist was. I could never figure it out.
It was a Rob Liefeld page?
That would be noticeable. Well, there's a signature on it, but I couldn't make out who the signature was.
Was it Jasper Sitwell?
Ironically enough. No, so then about, I don't know, like a month ago or a month and a half ago, I was in Half Price Books, the local Half Price Books store, and at the back of the store they have magazines, and I always look to see if they have any comic magazines or anything interesting back there, and usually they don't, but at this time they actually had some interesting ones. So I picked one up and I start flipping through it, and lo and behold, what do I see but a special little comic strip that was exclusive to this magazine that had Bad Rock and had that exact page. So I found out who the artist was and where the page actually was printed.
What was it printed in?
I can't remember, and I'm looking for it right now.
How was it in a magazine?
Where's that magazine? What the hell did I do with the magazine? I found Wizard. I know it wasn't Wizard, though.
Is that Comic Buyer's Guide or...
Uh-oh, I hear screaming.
Comic Scene.
No, it wasn't one of those. Hang on a sec.
I'm eating nuts while Bill's out parenting. Shelled peanuts. I find that shelled peanuts are better than roasted peanuts. And they're saltier if you get the salted ones, which I like. So, while he's gone, I'm going to pause this thing. They're good. They're salty. They are shelled peanuts. I find shelled peanuts much more flavorful than just in the jars.
So shelled, that's like in the shell?
Yeah.
Oh, here, I think I might have found... Are we recording?
Yeah.
I think I may have found the magazine. Let me make sure. Yeah, it's funny. I was just flipping through it, and all of a sudden, there was my page. I was like,
"So the Books a Million, they sell comics, though, too, don't they?"
Those half-price books. Here we go. Overstreet's Fan from 1995.
Huh.
Overstreet's Fan number 4. And the artist is, let's see, Mark Parilio. Pajarillo.
What is it an issue of?
Iarillo.
Does it say what issue it is?
Issue number 4.
Bad Rock number 4?
No, Overstreet's Fan number 4.
Oh, you mean it wasn't even in a comic?
No, it's just a comic that was in the magazine.
Oh, that's fucked up.
I don't think it was ever... I don't know if it was ever printed in a comic book.
Overstreet Fan. Oh, they don't even have it here. It's not even in my database.
Guess who wrote it?
What does it have on the cover? Does it have Jim Shooter on the cover?
No, it has iBots.
Hmm. See, I can find Overstreet Comic Book Monthly. That was pretty cool. Do you remember that? That was the price guide that would come out monthly.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah.
way before the internet. So you'd know like the short-term gains. That's when books in the 90s were hot. I don't know what Overstreet Fan is. It's a magazine?
Yeah, it's like half magazine and like half price guide.
Oh, I see it. It showed up. Okay, number four. Yeah. Still only $3.95.
Yep, still only $3.95.
Isaac Avanov's iBots.
And there was my page. I couldn't believe it. So those of you at home listening along, if you have this issue...
What a weird coincidence.
I know, I couldn't believe it. And I was just like flipping through it randomly, and all of a sudden I was like, holy shit. And I've been searching for this page too. I couldn't find it in any Bad Rock comic. I didn't know where it was. Oh yeah, I forgot. I was saying it's written by Eric Stevenson.
Well, he worked with Liefeld a lot.
Yeah. And now he runs the joint.
Yeah, he's improved. Liefeld's company I've always enjoyed. I just get frustrated because he could never be on time. Like, no matter what he did. The only time he was on time, I remember, was Marvel.
Oh, when he was first started out?
Yeah. Because he had to be.
Well, I also have a couple other issues of Fan. And on the back of this one has an ad for Broadway Comics.
Did this come out? I used to love Fatal. That was my favorite.
Did this one ever come out? City Perilous?
No. Is it in the comic, actually? In that book?
No, it's on the back cover.
There's nothing else, City. Well,
is it? Oh, Nights on Broadway. Maybe that's what
That did come out.
Okay. Yeah, City Perilous, Nights on Broadway.
Only three issues of it.
I don't have any of those.
Joe James and Jeff Isherwood. I've known his name for a while.
Yeah, he's done a lot of stuff.
Intended as a 5-issue miniseries, this was cut off abruptly by the company's collapse.
Yeah, that would do it.
There you go.
That's one where you can't blame them.
Yeah, that was a good company, too.
What caused the collapse, anyway?
Starseed. Well, I think they were all... I think Broadway actually, like, was into entertainment. They do, like, Saturday Night Live and all that bullshit. It's the same logo. I guess they gave money to Shooter to say, hey, let's do comics. But, they entered it a really bad time during the fall, during the collapse, I think.
Yeah. Did not survive.
Bad timing.
That one's sales drop.
I liked it more than Defiant for some reason, though. It felt more like Valiant than Defiant did. You didn't read it, did you? Bill. Bill. Hello. What is going on here? What happened? Bill?
Hello?
What happened?
I had to go check on something.
Oh. Is everything okay? What's going on? Can you give our listeners an insight? What the hell is happening?
What's going on over here? Well, the first interruption was because my daughter wanted to play with my son, but my son wanted to watch a SpongeBob episode. So he agreed to watch for 5 minutes. But then it was after 5 minutes, and he still wouldn't get off, so they were fighting. This time, our connection just sucked, so I went to see who was stealing my bandwidth.
Oh.
But no one would take responsibility. So they're in the timeout cage.
That's always good. That makes our show at least go for at least 10 more minutes straight. Timeout, 10-minute timeout.
That 10-minute timeout, we get perfect clarity.
Yeah. So did you read Defiant or Broadway comics? Or just the number ones?
Defiant, yes. Broadway, not really. But I've tried to pick them up whenever I saw them since then. I think, well, what one was that? Well, obviously it was like, I don't know, what year was that? Let me see.
Right after Defiant went under. It was around 96, 95.
96, yeah. This is 96. So 96, so I was 16 years old. Not really. 96. Where was I in 96?
You were already.
That's when I wasn't really picking up new comics then. I was only getting. See, I never.
We're roughly the same age, so I would think you were already working. You're already working for wherever you're working now.
Yeah, I was. I was. Because I started where I'm working now in 95.
Because so. I had 22 years, so you got to be damn close to where I am.
Yeah, I started in 95.
Yeah, I started in 94, so there.
We are a year old.
But I am older than you.
Yeah.
So, which means I'll lose my mind 1 year before you lose yours.
That's right. If only it was that predictable.
Yeah.
Yeah, so 96, I wasn't really getting any new comics off the shelf.
Why?
That was the phase.
Like, oh, I'm a grown ass man now. I can't buy comics. Is that why? Or no, I gotta pay bills?
That's the reason. I don't know. I was just getting trades and going to comic shows. But I just kind of lost interest in the monthlies.
What? You lost interest in comics.
I didn't lose interest in comics. Although I was still getting some independents, like monthly. Well, not monthly. The independents were coming out like once every 6 months. So I'd get those ones, like Hate and stuff like that.
Oh.
Hate and 8-Ball, I would get those. But I wasn't getting any. I think that's probably when I was off of the mainstream comics completely. And just doing indie stuff.
And then what made you snap back into reality, get back into real life again?
That would have been DCBS.
Oh, wow. It came on with podcasting and DCBS. Did you find out through DCBS, from podcasting?
No, I discovered. No, it was. I was actually looking for the Mage hardcovers.
Yeah.
No, was it Mage? Yeah, I think I was looking for the Mage hard covers.
The guy with the baseball bat.
Yeah, and I ended up on DCBS's site, and they had them. It just happened to be, I think, the latest one was solicited that month or whatever, and I saw the discount, and I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
It was like 50% off or whatever, and I was like, damn. So I put together an order, and then ordered every month since then. Like, every month it would, like, go up a little bit. Like, I remember when I first started getting for DCBS, my budget was $50 a month. And now that is so laughable.
yeah, same here. Except I think my budget blows yours. That if you saw mine, you'd be like, what motherfucker? God damn.
Yeah, and I can't remember what year I'd have to look on the site to see what year I started with DCBS, but. It was a while ago. But
I started it, I think, in 96. DCBS.
I'm going to look it up now. I'm curious.
No, that can't be 2006. 2006. I started. Because I think it was around podcast. I heard in podcasting. I can't remember if it was Comic Geek Speak or something. They started talking about DCBS. And I went in a little timid. I said, wow, this is interesting. These discounts are very appealing. And I went in and I was – at the time, I was kind of unhappy with my shop because my shop was
– right.
I'd go to the back of previews and I say, I want this, this, and that. And I would get maybe 75% of what I wanted in the back of previews. I would always get my Image. I always get my Marvel and my DC and stuff. But for some reason, if I ordered anything else, like weird, right, I wouldn't get it. Or I would get it and it late, really, really late. Now, I just wasn't like feeling it. So I was like, hey, I'm going to take a shot. And I started off like you did, I think, with a couple of trades and stuff because it was like 50% off, right? And back then they had like, if you're the first time buyer, you get an additional 20 or something like that. Yeah, so it's like 70% off or something. It was ridiculous. It was like ridiculously cheap on your first order. Or if you had mentioned CGS or something else, I can't remember where I heard this. It might have been,
I think they had it through a couple of places. You could do that.
But I entered it.
So my first order was, 2004.
So mine must have been before yours. Well, I could find out right now.
Yeah, you could look it up. My first order was awesome. You want to hear what my first order was?
Yeah, this is going to be fun. I do want
to hear. It was a small order. It was only $50. Stray Bullets Volume 1, 10th Anniversary Edition. She-Dragon Number 1, Mage Volume 1 Hardcover, and 8-Ball Caricature Trade Paperback.
Wow. That's a lot of money, though, for... What was the expensive item?
Mage was $25.
What was the... How many issues did that collect?
I can't remember. It was a thicker one, though.
All right, so I'm going to go to order history. And you were in... What year were you? Oh, my God. I can't even...
2004. Can't even what?
Okay. Oh, so you were before me. You bastard. But I've been monthly ever since. In other words, since I got my first order, I never stopped. Ever.
I haven't either.
Every month I have an order. My first order was $110.53. And let's see what I got. I got Walking Dead Omnibus Volume 1 Hardcover. I got The Gift Number 1 Volume 1 Trade Paperback. Squadron Supreme Number 1. Wow. Red Sonja Claw Devil's Hand Number 1. A lot of number ones. Miss Marvel Number 1.
Because they're discounted.
Well, these ones say limit 2 at 75% off.
Nice.
Yeah. I paid 74 cents for those three issues. Hero Squared, that was the Boom Studios thing, Volume 1. Hero Squared Ongoing Number 1. Green Lantern No Fear Hardcover. Fantastic Four First Family Number 1, limit 2 at 75% off. Blue Beetle Number 1. 75% off an American Virgin Number 1. So the pricey item there was Walking Dead Omnibus.
Yeah.
$65. That's pretty expensive. They don't seem that expensive now. Huh.
Man, my first... I kept it at like $50 for like a couple of years. That was good. Look at this.
I moved almost everything over there. So I actually went lower the next month, $73.99, $94.93. Well, I'll just say I'm in four digits now.
So when did you accelerate? Like, is there a jump at 1 month where you?
Let's see where I went nuts.
It's like in 2008 when I apparently cranked my budget up to $100 a month.
Good Lord, I'll see. Wow, this is interesting. Boring radio, but very interesting statistics. 2014 is when I lost my marbles.
That's recent.
Yeah.
Is that when you started getting statues?
No, I was getting statues all along. I don't know what happened. Well, one of the big things is these fucking bundles. Like, I get all Marvel now. I never did before. And I'm doing a lot of omnibuses, you know, like the Marvel omnibuses and the DC Absolutes and these artist edition bullshits. And
yeah, the artist editions eat into your budget a lot.
The one thing I ordered recently that I was like, oh, fuck, I'm disappointed, is I thought Eagle Moss was coming out with brand new DC characters that were bigger. Because they came out with a three set of Harlequin, blah, blah, blah. And they were like much bigger than the other pieces. So really? I started ordering regularly. And what I found out is they're the exact same of the ones I have, except cheaperly made. The one that I have when I first bought Superman, Wonder Woman, Joker, and Batman, they're about 3 pounds heavier than the ones that they have now. They look similar. Like, you if you put them side by side, you kind of maybe can tell just barely if you know what you're looking for. They look almost identical, but they're not. Like, the ones now are just cheaper. The other ones before, they had mass. They had weight.
Right.
They're heavy fuckers.
Even different material, yeah.
3 inches high. So I tried to go on DCBS and cancel my order for this month for the Eagle Moss, but it was just too late.
No, you missed the cut. They had an early cutoff.
Well, they let you add stuff pretty late, but the cutoff for dropping things is a lot earlier.
Right, because they have to place their order.
Yeah.
Once they've ordered it, you're out of luck.
Yeah.
Because otherwise they'll have to eat the cost.
So what did you read?
What did I read?
We didn't coordinate anything this time.
We didn't. We're going commando.
Yeah, we talked about what we ordered in 20. I can't believe you beat me to DCBS, you motherfucker. I'm a little jealous. And you found it on your own.
I found it on my own, yes. I just discovered it one day. I remember when I placed the first order, I'm like, I was wondering if I was actually going to get this stuff, to be honest.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff was discounted so much, I'm like, I wonder if this is a scam. I'm like, I might as well try it and see. And then I got it. And then I just kind of slowly, I started getting previews. Because when I was, like, back when I was younger, I used to get previews and order stuff. So I kind of got back into the monthly thing again.
I love previews, though. Like, even if I don't pay for it now, I get it at the comic shop for free, but If I had to pay for it full price, I still would.
Yeah.
Because I actually spend a lot of time in the magazine.
I thought you were gonna say in the bathroom.
Well, I do. That's where it is. Previews is in the bathroom, right next to the toilet.
I love previews. I get lots of enjoyment out of reading the solicits.
Yeah, you learn a lot.
It's like going through the Christmas catalog.
Yeah.
And I used to love that when I was a kid, going through the Sears toy catalog.
So did I, and circling stuff.
Oh, yeah, circling stuff. Some hours going through that thing.
Yeah, one of my best Christmases is when my parents found Heroes World. Do you remember that? Did you ever hear about Heroes World?
No.
There was a magazine where the Kuberts drew the action figures and stuff, but Heroes World was like a toy store for comic properties. Like they had all the Mego dolls and all kinds of toys and
Oh my
baskets
goodness.
and shirts and stuff like that. And it came out in a comic book format. Like if you, I think if you Google Heroes World catalog, let me see, Heroes. You could actually bag and board them. They're like a comic book.
I've never heard of this.
I can't believe you didn't. You were circling your
My Sears catalog.
catalog where I had a comic book catalog. Yeah, if you search for Heroes World catalog and just click on the Mego Museum, you'll see pictures of what this magazine looked like. And back then, they did not take pictures of the toys. So they had artists like the Kuberts and the Kubert School draw the toys like they would look. So it was pretty cool.
Man, I would have loved this.
You would have.
So is it all Mego stuff?
Yeah, and it was stuff that you couldn't find in the fucking catalog. No, it was other stuff. Like if you get in, if you search some of the pages, you'll see like they had Black Hole,
Yeah, I see that.
they had like stretch elastic figures. A lot of it was Mego, but a lot of it they had other stuff.
Can you get those like cardboard stand-up ones, like of
Yeah,
Spider-Man
you
and
could.
stuff?
Yeah,
Those
the ones that
ones.
hang on your door and shit.
No, the ones where like, they were like 3D building
I don't
buildings.
know.
Those are awesome. I'm gonna
Yeah, but
find.
this catalog was awesome. So if you look at the Mego figures, you could get like characters that you would never see at your Kmart, you know? You could get like Falcon, you'd never see him for sale. I'd never see an Iron Man. You'd always see like Superman, Hulk, Spider-Man, you know, all the big ones. You might see a Shazam, maybe a Captain America. It was a cool catalog. But the Sears ones had some pretty cool stuff. Like they had some exclusive like Kenner Star Wars things as well. I remember getting an exclusive Sears Cantina, which was just a plastic thing where you could put your figures on with a cardboard back with it had the background of the characters. But it was
Yeah,
pretty cool.
that would have been awesome. I was like taking the clothes off my Spider-Man.
You did?
Yeah.
I was always keeping my character. My brother tore apart his toys. I remember when we were kids, really, really young, we tore apart a Wonder Woman in the bathtub. Our parents used to stick us in the bathtub together.
Is there bubbles?
Save money. Was there bubbles? Yeah, there was lots of bubbles. I think I stopped taking baths with my brother when he shit in the tub.
That'd do
Were playing with toys and stuff, and he just took a shit in there. And then he picked up the shit, like he was holding it, like, look at this. And I
like
jumped out like screaming, and I was like, "Mom, he shit in the tub." I
How old was he? You say you're like
don't know. It's like
thirteen?
he's like not 13. He was in our 20s. Come on.
That's disgusting.
Yeah. So we haven't talked about one comic. What have you read?
What haven't I read? Yeah, I was pulling up my file. Let's see. What did I want to talk about? What did we talk about? We talked about Goddamned already.
Yeah, we did. I didn't read number two yet. And you don't read number twos.
No, did we talk about...
It's Amigo. I bet you read Straitjacket number three.
I don't have Straitjacket number three yet.
Oh, I do. I didn't read it yet.
You must have just... Did you just get it?
This month. It was either this week or last week. Last week, I think, because I filed them already.
Yeah, I haven't got it yet. Oh, I did read The Veil.
We both did.
Did we talk about it?
Talked about it last episode.
Oh, yeah, we did. That's right. Son of a bitch. I'm all thrown off. Damn holidays. Did we talk about Replica?
I don't think we did.
Oh, let me find that.
I didn't read that. You'll have to let me know what it's about.
Okay, let me find it. Let me go through my files here. Oh, it should be...
That was Aftershock.
Hey, I don't think I read this one. Why is this in my read pile? Son of a bitch. My system has failed.
I know. I'll start off then. I know what I read that was fucking awesome.
What did you read?
It is a Black Mask book.
Oh.
And it's an old one. It's one of the first releases that they released. 12 Reasons to Die. Did you get that?
Yeah. Wait. I think so. I have to look it up.
This is the one that was... It was linked to an actual rap artist or...
it's Ghostface Killah, right?
Yeah. And it was, I guess, based on his songs, like, or his ideas, but somebody else ran with it.
I don't think I got that one.
And I can't remember the writer's name that might have ran with it. It might have been Adrian Huge. I can't remember his name. And I don't have it in front of me. I already filed it. But this came out in 2013. It was one of the kickoff ones.
Mm-hmm.
It was Ghostface Killah was listed as the writer, but he didn't really script it.
Yeah, it's his idea or something.
And Breno Tamura is the artist. And I'm surprised there's not two artists. I really wish I had the book in front of me. Because what this story started off as, it started off with like this badass guy that was trying to make his way up a mafia, right? And the family was not letting him in. Even though he was like 100% successful, he was way better. The family wanted to keep him away because he wasn't like real family. Like he wasn't part of... if you will, the Capones or whatever. You know, he wasn't in the blood.
Mm-hmm.
So they wanted to keep him around as like a cleaner or whatever they needed him for. But they never wanted to give him credit. And he was awesome. He was a badass motherfucker. So they're telling this story in the first half, like his rise to fame. And in the back half, it's all about this record, like this haunted record where these old fuckers would play this record and get killed. Well, it turns out that the first part of the story merges with the second part of the story because the record has to do with Ghostface Killah, like the mafia guy Anthony Stark that they killed. He got stuck in the record and he was out to kill all the leaders of the mafia. So it was really, really good. It so good that it made me want to look up this album that was at the back because I dug the story so much. I didn't think I was gonna like it.
Yeah, was it based like on a concept album or something?
Yeah, matter of fact, they listed the album in the back. I wished I had it, but it was really good. And he was like fucking the one dude's wife, and she fell in love with him, and it was a really complex story. I really liked it. It was 6 issues of, like, I couldn't put it down. I had read number one, like, when it first came out. Like, you know how sometimes we read the number ones? And then I let 2 through 6 sit, and then I, for some reason, I just went into a box and grabbed them, and I was like, I'm gonna try number two. I didn't think I was gonna really like it, and I actually fell in love with it and sat and read the rest of it. I was like, this is awesome. And it's all about this one guy trying to collect the records for the one mafia boss that wants to collect them all so he could, like, secure them so nobody can play them. But all the brothers of the mafia group had a record, but these fuckers would end up playing them, and then they'd get murdered by this ghost. So, and they would get murdered in unique ways, kind of like the Spectre, you know? How the Spectre would fuck with people. Well, that's what this guy would do. So that was a really good book. I dug it. I don't think
Cool.
there's a trade for it.
No, I'll have to keep my eye. See if I can.
Oh, there is a
Oh,
trade for it. $14.99.
I did collect that?
Yeah. So what you got?
Cool. Replica number one from Aftershock. And of course, I was going to like this one because it's by a great team, Paul Jenkins and Andy Clark. Who did shit, what was that book called?
Paul Jenkins has done tons of books. I
What
don't
did he do
know
with it?
what Andy Clark has done with them.
Didn't they do maybe I'm no, I'm mixing him up. I'm mixing him up with someone else. Anyway, so this is about this is like a futuristic story where there's this cop guy. Hang on. And it starts out he's being chased and he's on the run from these alien creatures. And he works for this the police on this, I think they're on like on a space station of some sort. And he thinks all the other people that he works with are complete idiots, which they kind of are. And they end up killing a dignitary accidentally and get into trouble. So his life's kind of going to shit, and he decides he sees an ad for this cloning service where you can clone yourself, and he's like, I'm gonna do that because I'm tired of working with idiots. And he clones himself, but he gets himself cloned, but there's an accident while he's getting cloned. And I guess I won't spoil what the accident is, but it's really good. It's really funny and well written. So if you like Paul Jenkins, this is definitely it was fun and it has a lot of comedic elements as well and the sci-fi. So
Are these books you're gonna wait for the trade, or are you buying them? Do you know?
I'm waiting for the trade.
Okay, so even for Super Zero, that was the one we read about the girl that wants to become a superhero.
Yep. Yeah, I didn't get any of those as
Number
trying to
two
get any
has
of
an
those
interesting
monthly.
cover. I haven't. Aren't you ever worried, though, that they might not trade it, especially these smaller companies?
I have a feeling these ones will trade. Now, nowadays, most stuff gets traded, so I think it's a big market still.
I guess digital, if worst case is,
Yeah, I always get it digitally.
if you, yeah, if they don't trade it, you could get it digitally.
I mean, Aftershock is presumably spending a lot of money getting these big
Getting
name
big names,
peoples,
right?
so
Yeah.
I don't think they would not want it in the bookstores and things. But I could be wrong. That's a chance I'm taking.
You're
It's a
rolling the
risk.
dice.
I'm rolling the dice, but I'll definitely be picking this one up.
Okay, so what did I read that? I read Bloodhound, Crowbar Medicine. This, what?
What's it called?
Bloodhound.
Bloodhound.
Yeah, it used to be a DC. This is used to be a DC property, but it moved over to Dark Horse because I guess there was a while there where DC was creating books that they were letting the creators have some kind of rights to them.
Retain the rights to him, yeah.
Yeah, like I think like Simon Dark, like Steve Niles could write if he wanted, but Bloodhound was one of them. It came out, the original series came out in 2004, and it was by Dan Jolley and Leonard Kirk. Leonard Kirk is a pretty big name, it's about a ex-cop convict. He's a present convict, Travis Clevenger, and he's kind of like has a knack for hunting metahumans, and the FBI uses him, even though he's an ex-con, to try to go after metahumans. And that's what this one's about. This one is a strange tale where he's trying to get his life together. Another series that has done this has moved from DC to Dark Horse is The Mighty. Except The Mighty hasn't come out in a miniseries yet. It's only being produced in Dark Horse Presents.
I didn't even know that.
Just the anthology. Yeah, that's why I started buying Dark Horse Presents, is because I originally thought, as a Dark Horse consumer, that everything that was in Dark Horse Presents made its way into a one shot or a mini
Trade,
series.
yeah.
And I found out that's not the case. And even in some cases, it's exclusive content even for an ongoing. So like with the example of Pastaways by Matt Kent, they had Pastaway story in Dark Horse Presents that was never reprinted in the regular series.
Right.
So it's kind of like if you were back in the day where DC printed the first appearance of the new Teen Titans in DC Comics Presents number 26. And it was original content, and then started a new series, kind of like what some of these do. So just because it appears in Dark Horse Presents doesn't mean they'll print it in its own title. I guess it just depends. Or it might be exclusive content. So that's when I said, fuck it, I'm gonna start buying Dark Horse Comics Presents. But anyway, Bloodhound is a story about this guy. And he's trying to get his life together, and he goes to live with his sister, and he's got a niece there that he's trying to take care of, but he's still a guy that has to work for the FBI. And there's one guy that kind of loses control of his powers and kills a bunch of cops and people, and he's told to go after him, and he does get him. The guy is innocent. He's not purposely trying to hurt people. He's like one of those guys that doesn't know how to control his powers and explodes. But that spawns off this guy who goes over media and says, well, I'm going to start selling superpowers to you, and you could come get it. And he starts selling it to people and interviewing people. It was originally intended to be for the government. So some general goes and asks for Bloodhound's assistance because they need to track this guy down, and Bloodhound knows immediately you want to track him down so you could use the technology, not because you want to keep people from getting these powers. But anyway, one of them sets off that kills the loved one of Bloodhound, and he has to work towards taking out the villain, and it's a pretty awesome finale, and it's a good series. This is one I would love to read as an ongoing, but nobody but me would buy it, so I don't think it sold well to begin with, even when it was at DC. But I loved when DC was doing shit like this because you'd get all these original ideas, and they were very different from the other superheroes, and these creators wouldn't be afraid to cut loose because they were their own creations. So, I would definitely buy a Bloodhound ongoing if it stayed a Dark Horse. But what I'm hoping is maybe we'll get an appearance here and there in Dark Horse Comics Presents, if anything.
Cool. Yeah, I never read the original, so.
What do you got?
Do I have? Symmetry number one. Let me find that. This is from Image Comics / Top Cow Comics, written by Matt Hawkins.
Do you think that this is an interesting theory that's been buzzing around, and it has a lot to do with why the Beauty moved itself out of Top Cow? But do you think that Top Cow books are typecast, and that's why they don't succeed as much as like Image proper?
I think so.
Do you think they're just like stereotyped as being like Witchblade and Darkness or something, or what?
I don't think. Yeah.
What is it? I mean, because these books are really good.
Yeah, I think it's just because, yeah, like you said, the Top Cow brand has been associated with the older properties, like, yeah, Witchblade and Darkness, for so long, and that kind of universe, that people don't realize when there's another a new comic that comes out that it's not associated with that, that it's its own thing. I didn't know. So Beauty has moved to just Image?
Yeah, Beauty has moved just to Image. I had talked to him about it, and he had asked Top Cow why he wanted to do it, and I think it was part of his strategy. Because the beauty was a winner of the, what do you call it? Top Cow used to have these competitions. Pilot season, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Top Cow has had other stuff for a long time, but
right now they seem to be publishing a lot of Matt Hawkins books, which is, he's like the CEO of the company, I think. Because he's doing the Tithe as well as Postal.
Yeah, he's the president.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
And he's good. He's right. He writes good. He writes good comics.
Oh, I love his books. Yeah, I get all of his stuff. Yeah, and each one, he starts out, well, he's very, like, theme-based, kind or concept-based. Like, he wants to tackle, like religion, or in this book, he's kind of looking at, I guess it's like socialism that he's kind of doing a study of. It's about society. So, but he has like a purpose in mind with each of these stories. Like, there's a concept that he wants to explore, and that he's exploring. Like he says, I think he says in the back. Yeah. So he looked at Think Tank was a study kind of science, and Tithe was religion. So this is his next.
See, I think though, if people gave these books a chance, Bill, that he would be up there like with Walking Dead and Saga and all the other stuff, because the quality is just, you know, it's there all the time.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't really. None of these are ongoing though.
Postal's been going on for a while.
Yeah, he's not writing that anymore though.
Think Tank went on for a while.
Yeah, Think Tank is has gone on.
It's not on anymore.
Tithe is still going on, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I guess I'm wrong. They do go on.
Well, Postal's still going on, but it was taken over by Brian Hill, who's the co-writer of it.
Right. So this one, and this one was awesome too. I enjoyed this one. So it's written by Matt Hawkins and art by Raphael Ienco.
Ienco, he's awesome. He did that Epic Kill and all that stuff. You've read his stuff before.
Yeah.
That guy's good.
Yeah, the art in this is.
Matter of fact, I know I did, but I think we both did. We pre-ordered that book from Heavy Metal where he was going to do all of it, and they canceled it.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, it was Robert and Nico.
Forgot about that. Yeah, so he did the art in this, and the art is fabulous. And it's a cool concept, too. So the concept of this one is it takes place in the future, and it's a future where it's basically a utopia. The world is, or Earth is, now organized such that robots do all the work and humans basically live in leisure. So you live a life of leisure, and you have, when you're born, you're like connected to this network, and you have like a personal, here it says everyone was given a personal AI joined with their brain in utero to connect them to with the network. So basically you have this like robot, you have this computer chip in your brain that connects you to the network and kind of helps you and leads you through life. So that's kind of like the main story here. And the two main characters are these two brothers. And it actually opens with the I think it's the death of one brother. And then it kind of flashes back to the past. So you learn about these two brothers. The main character is actually the younger brother, and then his older brother is the one, I think, that died. It jumps back to the past, so it shows them like growing up and then coming to age, like turning 18 in this utopia where they're living. And there's no such thing as, like, they outlaw certain things. Like, they outlaw creativity. Here, what is it? Ambition, diversity, creativity, and instruments of capital were eliminated for the greater good. And at the back of the book, in the text part of it, Matt Hawkins kind of talks about each of those and why the society got rid of those things. And another thing they got rid of is kind of personal, like romance, I guess, basically, or personal. You have personal interactions with the opposite sex, but it's solely for reproductive purposes. And not to, because I think the kids get taken away from the parents after they're born anyway and get raised by the robots. But anyway, then at the end of this is kind of the twist is when they find out, well, I guess I won't spoil the twist, but there's a twist at the end where the brothers start to learn some of the secrets behind what's really going on. And it's actually triggered by, there's a solar flare that causes an EMP, which like knocks out all the robots. So now the people are like trying to figure out how to survive, I guess, once they're disconnected from the network and they realize the truth of what's really going on, which they haven't revealed all of it in this issue, but it's a cool story and great art. So definitely recommend that one.
Yeah, I have it. I just haven't gotten to it. I haven't even got to Tithe yet.
Oh, you haven't gotten to that? I read the first trade of Tithe.
Yeah. So, the other book that I wrapped up this morning was Spider-Woman, Volume 5 by Dennis Hopeless. And Javier Rodriguez did most of it. But Natasha Bustos did the final issue. His art style is very similar. But this is kind of like where they revamp Spider-Woman to be kind of more in the vein of the new Batgirl. I don't know if you read the new Batgirl, but I think you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Where the art style's like Babs Tarr or whatever her name is. And it's more of a – it's younger. Not of a dark book. It's a younger – I don't know how to say it.
Hipper?
I don't know. It kind of like a hipper. It's a weird thing that's going on with that. Like, I don't know whether I like it or,
well,
I don't. It seems weird for Batgirl for me because I know everything. Spider-Woman, it still feels weird, but both of them I'm accepting. I'll say that, and I enjoy them. They're lighthearted fun is what they are. The plots are ridiculous. But they're entertaining. So the first one before this is before Secret Wars, So the first issue, or number nine, they're actually on the road. She's on the road with Ben Urich and Porcupine, which is a weird villain from the Marvel Universe that has quills all over his back. She had saved his daughter in the first story arc of the series. And she's now traveling with these guys, and they're just kind of like touring weird phenomenons that are happening. Instead of being a private investigator like she was initially, it's just like, let's tour the world and fix problems kind of thing. And she trains she's supposed to train Porcupine, but they end up like in Texas somewhere weird at like this meat packing plant. And it turns out this meat packers are turning people into zombies, but like zombies they can control. And it's weird because when you jump from 9 to 10, 10 starts off and Black Widow's there and they're on a ship and Spider-Woman's in her old costume. And you're like, what the fuck happened? Did they just interrupt the story midstream and join Secret Wars? But it turns out it's like a flash forward. And it tells you how they got there. But they end up stopping this zombie apocalypse. Actually, Porcupine saves the day with his quills because he fakes death. He fakes that he's dead and shoots out the quills on him because they think he's dead because they shot him. But he said his costume's like 80% bulletproof. So he saves the day. Ben Urich gets shot. He saves Ben Urich. And then one day they're in their hotel and they're kind of like partying. And Spider-Woman goes to get some ice. Like, I'm going to go get some ice for the drinks. They're like drinking liquor out of paper cups in this rundown motel room. And Black Widow's outside and she says, we need you. You know, it's the end of the world and we need you. We're actually vacating the planet. And we have to take the best scientists off world. And that's what ties into Secret Wars. And instead of going into the room and telling them why she's leaving, she just leaves. So Ben Urich and Porcupine are in there getting plastered. But it was interesting. And then when she comes back from Secret Wars, she's pregnant. So we'll find out what happens there.
Great. I remember the solicits for that.
I wonder if she's pregnant with Porcupine's baby or Ben Urich's. I don't know who else she's been around. Unless she gets pregnant by somebody in the Secret Wars. But I've read Secret Wars. I was really disappointed.
Yeah, I've heard mixed things about that.
It's kind of like a finale. Like, we want to put on the shelf Fantastic Four for a while, but it reads really cold and heartless to me. And I liked Hickman's Fantastic Four, so I don't know why it came across the way it did. The last two issues, like, they were like Marvel just wanted to make more money. They knew the book was successful, over 100,000 copies, and it's like, I think it ended with 9. It's like they made 7 and 8. 7 and 8, like something that had one little plot point, which could have been like 2 pages, into 2 issues. So it was highly decompressed.
Yeah.
With not a lot of meat and potatoes. And then they ended the series with 9. And it just, yeah, there was a dialogue and closure, but it felt really cold to me. Sounds like chaos again.
I think that's just playing.
Okay.
You have a trained ear to distinguish fighting from playing. So I have a Marvel book as well. She's just noisy out there. Weird World, number one.
Oh, which series? Second or first?
I don't know.
Well, did you read the Secret Wars one by Jason Aaron, or is this the one that's by Simon Spurrier?
Neither. It's the new one by Sam Humphries.
Oh, okay, I get Simon Spurrier confused with Sam Humphries.
I get Simon Spurrier mixed up with Simon someone else.
Simon Dark.
No, Simon, I don't know. Simon Spencer. Yeah, I get Cy Spencer mixed up. All these Cys. Why you gotta be Cy?
Yeah. Did you read the first series?
Of Weird World?
No. Yeah. Oh, man, Bill. It was so good.
I'm gonna have to, because I like the second series.
Well, it's the same artist, but the first series is written by Jason Aaron.
Oh, by Jason Aaron.
Yeah, and I see it. The thing that I love about this, before you get into it, is it reminds me of like a Kirby world, where anything can happen. And I like the first series because of it. Like, it took some really obscure characters that were on Weird World, put them in this world where they can't get out, put them in weird predicaments. Mm-hmm. And it's a world that's constantly dynamic. It changes. Like, you can make a map and say, I know how to get to this kingdom over here. And then that map is useless.
And it changes.
It changes, yeah. The world morphs itself. And the artist is perfect for this book.
Oh, he is awesome. Yeah, definitely, the art definitely stood out. And yeah, definitely worked for this book. Mike Del Mundo.
Yeah, it's a strange art style, but they like paired him up with the right book.
It's like I don't know how to describe the art. Yeah, it works well, though. It almost looks like 70s paintings. Like 70s fantasy art paintings.
It's got like a psychedelic color to it, that's why.
Yeah. But some of the stuff, like, you could see on, like, painted on the side of a van or something. Some of the pages. So I haven't read the first series, which I now need to do. But in the second one, the start of it is this girl kind of waking up from this plane crash in Weird World. So the plane she was on got sucked into Weird World by this wizard. And now she's like freaking out because she doesn't know where she is or what's going on. And there's all these, like, weird creatures chasing her.
Sorry.
You muted the opposite of what you should have done.
I did.
So this girl is in Weird World. She's running, trying to figure out what's going on. And she ends up seeing the wizard who summoned her there is, like, freaking out because they said it was impossible for anything to get pulled from Earth into Weird World, but he succeeded, so he thinks he's the greatest wizard ever. And then you meet this other character, which she might be in the first series. She's a, what does she call herself? She's a wizard killer, Galetta the Wizard Slayer. So she's this giant warrior woman. So this girl, Becca, ends up joining up with her, and then you find out that the queen, she has this, the wizard used like a seed to get her there, and she the queen wants it, so they're gonna try and find her. So now this girl from Earth is like teamed up, and then you find out some more about what was going on in the teen girl's life before she ended up here, which is interesting. So it was really well done. I liked it. So I'm going to definitely have to check out the first series as well.
I really dug it.
The setup for this.
You know how I said I didn't like Secret Wars? I liked the idea of it, and I liked all the series that spawned from it on Battleworld and stuff. So
yeah,
it wasn't a bad event. I just didn't care for the main series, which is weird. Usually it's the opposite.
And I like this one was good because it works completely independent of whatever else is going on. like as yeah, its own story.
The only other book that ties into that is Black Knight, because Black Knight's on Weird World too.
Okay.
That one's by Frank Terry. Any others that you want to talk about?
I think I had. Let me see if I have another one. Oh, did you want to? I know you read this one too. Limbo.
Oh yeah, I read number one and two.
Okay, I read number one of it.
What'd you think?
I thought it was good, but I don't know if it's really my thing. I'm not really into the voodoo stuff, so.
I don't know if it's voodoo. I don't know how you could describe it as voodoo.
It seemed kind of voodoo at.
Well, his one roommate is voodoo, the one that saved his life, this detective's life, or this gumshoe guy. But that's all the voodoo that I know that's in the book.
That there is.
Yeah.
Well, there's some like mystical stuff going on with that one bad guy.
Well, there's fucked up shit. It's like, and the to goat. To me, it's like Weird World, except with less.
Right.
It makes a lot less sense. It's like if this book could exist on Weird World. But
yeah, so this is a it's an image book by Dan Waters and Kaspar Wingard. Yeah, so it's about it seems like the concept is this guy is in this weird town that we don't really know where it is, because he's eating lizards on a stick and he only has 9 months worth of memory or something like that, so he doesn't know how he got there, right?
Yeah, it's to me it's like this, it really is a limbo, like if you were stuck in limbo. Mm-hmm. Like some kind of purgatory between heaven and hell or something, except the world like almost makes no sense. It's like he doesn't know why he's there, why his days seem repetitive, why he keeps running into these guys and getting beat up, and he shares a room with a voodoo woman who does voodoo through cassette tapes and shit. Mm-hmm. It's very bizarre. And then there's somebody that hires him to help her.
Yeah, he's a PI.
Yeah.
So someone helped him get the PI job. Who I can't remember who it was.
I think he was a PI.
His roommate.
Before he got to limbo, like it's his natural skill set.
Okay. And then he gets, the girl comes, he gets hired to work on this case, which it seems like the guy behind it all is like some kind of drug lord in limbo, and he wears like a Mexican wrestler mask.
Yeah, I forget what they call those. Barb, what do they call?
Luchador.
Luchadors, yeah. But number two even gets weirder, so if you very think weirder. Number one is weird. Number two will blow your fucking mind. He gets sucked into like a TV.
I know. Didn't the goat get sucked into a TV in the first issue?
Yeah. So it's pretty fucked up shit. But you know, I don't. There's very few books that I read that like don't make any sense, but I enjoy. Mm-hmm. Usually, if I don't understand it or it's so weird. But there's something about the art and there's something about the story that I like it. I can't describe why I like it. It's
well, I think that the storytelling was good in here. You just don't really know what's going on at this point.
Yeah.
But the panel to panel sequence was good. Like you could follow along with what was going on in each scene. You just don't know what anything means at this point.
Right. So that was all the comic books that I wanted to talk about, at least this episode. Mm-hmm. Any TV or movies?
Sure. I just finished watching Jessica Jones season one on the Netflix. And I loved it. You still there?
They do a yeah. I was coughing.
Okay. Have you started watching that yet?
No, I haven't.
It's good. It's awesome. Now I need to read the. I never read the comic because I.
See, I've read all the comics.
I'm not a Bendis fan, so.
That's one of his best works. Well, yeah, if I had to say what I loved about Bendis, it would be Daredevil and Alias. So those are the things that I loved.
Yeah.
I think he does some weird shit with team books. I really, really, really like when he's doing like a single character.
Okay.
But when he like jumps onto like a book with lots of players, it's kind of weird. I don't hate it. I just don't think it's his best.
You think? Yeah, I think is solo character stuff is stronger.
It's way stronger. Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, my library has the first two trades of Alias, so I'll check them out just because I'm curious to see how close they stuck or if they stuck at all to what was in the books.
Yeah, I'm very curious to start it. I watched a lot of TV because I was on business travel, and I just happened to be business travel back home, and I don't control the TV, so I watched a lot of fucking TV, because my parents, like...
But not your choice?
I swear. Well, I would get home pretty late, you know, like, most of the days I got home, except the days I was really sick, I got home after 7, and I ate dinner, and then they were watching TV. And they watch TV pretty much from like 4 p.m. all the way till they go to sleep between 9 and 10. And they record every fucking show that's on TV. But I will say that I learned a couple of shows that I added to my queue because of this. I saw little pieces of almost everything because I was like gone for like 2 weeks.
So it was a good sampler of.
It was like a sample of shows, like sampling them in the middle of.
It was random episodes.
Yeah, random episodes and not knowing what's going on. But what I found I liked, there was two that I added to my recorder. Here, and one of them was American Crime. I think American Crime is derived from the thing that American Horror Story does, where they take the same actors and put them into a different scenario every season. So I'm watching American Crime, and it's the second season, and I started with the second episode, but me and Barb watched the third episode last night, and I really like it. It's a fucked up series. Like this one is dealing with a real pretentious, rich, private school where they have a really cool basketball team, and they actually rape one of the boys. Like the male basketball team actually rapes one of the male boys, and the mother goes apeshit and tries to get it all public, and he doesn't want to keep it public. It's just a weird show. But it's got like a weird twist, and there's every episode there's like some weird thing that happens. So I'm enjoying American Crime. The other show that is just eye candy and lots of fun because I like the characters is CSI Cyber, and I never thought I'd watch a CSI show.
I actually watch CSI Cyber too. Because I like the stories on CSI Cyber, but the dialogue is so terrible.
I like the characters, though.
Yeah, the characters are good.
Well, I like the fat character, whatever his name is.
Yeah, the two tech guys are awesome.
And then it's got, what's her name, Patricia Arquette.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got some weird shit, but the plots are cool.
Dawson's Creek on it.
Yeah, Dawson's Creek guy. I think of him as Varsity Blues guy because that's my movie. But there's something about the show I like. I find it addictive.
The dialogue is so like you got to pay attention to the dialogue because they have it's so dumbed down. They like repeat stuff like multiple times. So they'll say, like, one guy will say something, and then the next guy will be like, so you mean, and he'll say it a different way, and then, like, another one will say it, like, a different way. It's like, come on. It's like, oh, my God. It's so funny. But I still watch it.
I saw two episodes. I think I saw last season's that ended on a cliffhanger, and I don't know how the ending is. It was basically some guy, maybe you could tell me what the ending is to catch me up. But this one that I saw was where this one guy actually broke into the CSI headquarters at the very end of it. And he had implanted his fingerprints in Patricia Arquette's monitor and all that stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And he was like, they like led him to his mom's house, or it was all fucked up. But he was hacking into shit, and they had to find out what about him. Do you remember how it ended? Did they catch the guy? Because the episode that I saw, he walked out of her office, and they never knew where he went.
Yeah, I don't remember.
But the other episode I watched, I think it's a recent one. I don't know because they do it on their DVR, so I don't know where it is. But it was an airplane one where they hijacked an airplane.
Yeah, that was a pretty recent one.
Yeah, I liked that one. I liked it from a technical perspective because it really seemed feasible.
Yeah, I think they do a good job on the tech side on the show, like coming up with feasible sounding concepts of how the hacking is working. And they always talk about the dark net and stuff. It's but so on the plane episode, there's one part where like Dawson went out to, they went into a field.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I can't remember what he had, like the stupidest lines. Cause he's like, I could tell they've been here because they had left a bunch of stuff here and there's tire tracks.
Right.
It's like, well, of course. And,
there's fucking tire tracks in the middle of a field that looks like there shouldn't be shit there.
Of course they've been there.
Oh, there's all this aluminum shit over here hanging from the tree. And then they're
like, yeah, look over there. We found it. Geniuses.
Well, it was really the fat guy that had the good dialogue there because he found it.
Oh, found the...
Yeah, and then you have to get the...
Maybe this is a clue. Oh, yeah, the aluminum.
Then you have to get the good-looking stud to state the obvious, right?
Yeah, I'll repeat what the guy said.
But it is kind of goofy. I agree with you. I thought it was, like, extremely fucking weird how this one fucker just shows up there and knows how to, like, how the plane works and shit. Like,
he studied it.
Yeah, he just fucking shows up.
He has and to make he, model he like, airplanes.
He like fucking simulates the whole thing in the fucking office. And they just like let him in. Like security is like really shit. Like where's the fuck this guy come from? He supposedly was in a previous episode, I think, in the first season or something. But it just doesn't seem like a viable thing that you would just let somebody into your secure office. And then you have the one fucker who's like on a virtual date, the fat guy, and he's taking on her a tour of the fucking building. Like they, most places like that, you can't even take a cell phone in.
Yeah.
you can't do that. You would get in big trouble.
Yeah, you can't even take a picture, let alone.
Yeah. If your device has Skype any it. Kind of, yeah, you can't go in there. And he's fucking on his little. Fucking
showing everything. Yeah, check out.
It's like, hey, look where we are. We're in this secret area. Like, what the fuck is this? And in front of her boss. I'm just like, what the fuck is this? But I like the show.
Yes, so do I. So Melanie's like, why do you watch this? It's so stupid. I'm like, I don't know. I like the stories and the other stuff. It makes me laugh. Like, it's funny. I think. Like the dialogue, it just cracks me up every time they say something. Stupid. Yeah. I'm just
the other show I like that's ridiculous, at least I think it's ridiculous, is Blue Bloods, but I didn't add that one. And the show that has like the most potential of all the shows I mentioned, but I didn't want to get into it because it's so intricate, is Blacklist. I only saw one episode of that and it was fucking really good.
Yeah, I watched that. Yeah, that's been on for a while, so you have a lot of catching up to do.
Yeah, I felt like this is something I could get into, but it's so deep and intricate that I'd want to start at the beginning. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you'd have to start at the beginning.
Whereas CSI Cyber, I felt like I could just jump right.
Yeah, you can jump in any day.
It's like issue. It's like a Bronze Age comic, right? You can just start wherever you want.
Yeah, it wouldn't take you long to get up to speed.
Yeah. I watched two episodes and I felt like I knew what was going on. So that was all the TV that I think I watched. Oh, I've watched the first episode of season 4 or 5 of Arrow. And that was really good.
Yeah, I think I'm up to date on, or close to up to date on Arrow.
I lost most of it, so we're trying to, I'm going to have to pay for some of it, but we got a lot of it just by, what do they call it? On demand.
Okay.
I watched 2 movies. I don't know if you got any more TV.
I don't think I have TV. I do have a movie, but.
I'm trying to think of what I watched.
I'll talk about my movie.
Yeah.
I watched The Martian, which I think, did you see that?
No, but I hear really good things. Okay.
Yeah, I saw The Martian. Yeah, it was good. So that's the one. Well, I'm sure everyone knows what it's about. So it's about the.
Go ahead and give the premise. I don't know what it's about.
Okay. It's about, so it starts out, there's a mission to Mars, and there's a bunch of astronauts up on Mars collecting samples. And then the storm, they get an indication from the base that, so they have a base there, and then they have like a trouble. They get a notification that this bad storm's coming, and that it's one that they knew was coming, but it's bigger and coming faster than they thought. And it's such a big storm that it had the potential of knocking over their shuttle. And if the shuttle gets knocked over, they're screwed, because that's how they can't leave otherwise. So they quickly abort the mission and say, we got to go because we're not going to survive this. So they all hop in they're headed for the shuttle. And one guy gets like hit by debris and goes flying. And they're like, what are we going to do? You know, we have to go. The storm's here and the shuttle starts tipping over anyway. So they end up having to take off without him. And because they think he's dead, but then it turns out he's alive. So it's about how this guy now is trapped on Mars with no way to contact people back on Earth to let them know that he's alive. And it was good. It's
yeah, I want to see it.
They do a good job of splitting it up between him on Mars and then back on Earth, what their reaction and everything, and
yeah.
What they do. So it was really well done, and damn, it looks like Mars.
Cool.
Like they did a really good job of making it look like Mars, and Matt Damon is really good in it. So
yeah, he's nominated, I think. So my movie is The Revenant. I don't know how to say it. Revenant.
Oh, Revenant.
This is also an Academy Award type movie, but It is brutal, man. I don't know if I like it.
I don't know if I want to watch it. I haven't decided yet.
Give me a second here. I need to plug my headset in because the battery's running out.
Uh-oh.
It seems like my headset doesn't keep a charge as long as it used to. It used to go like 8 hours.
Yeah.
And now it's like 4 or maybe 3. But
it seems like batteries, rechargeable batteries these days do a lousy job of their longevity is terrible.
Yeah, and I think they degrade over time.
Well, like your cell phone, when you first get it, it'll last like
forever.
You know, all day, a couple days, yeah. And then you have it for like a year, and by the end of the year it's like 6 hours.
Yeah. A lot of it's the apps. You got to learn which apps are eating your battery.
Yeah, turn off the apps.
There's a feature which you could tell on most phones what's eating your battery.
Yeah.
So you could just, you know, shut that app off or whatever. But I don't know if I like this movie. I'm kind of like in the middle. It was good, but it
So is
was it rev well, I had to even look up what revenant means. I didn't know what it meant. And it means like come back from the dead, which is kind of what the plot is. This guy gets brutally fucking massacred by a bear, but he's also on the run from an Indian tribe because they're skinners, and they think that this guy had actually they think that these white guys had taken the chief's daughter when it's not them, so they're being chased constantly. But he's nominated and everything, but I don't think his acting was that great, because it seems like it's easy to act when you're in constant pain. I mean,
when you're really going through it.
yeah, I think I could have done that. I don't know how I would have done, but what pain is something that I think it's easy to act, and that's what this is. It's just brutal. So I watched it. It was a really cold movie. It takes place in a lot of snow. And then I watched Hateful Eight, which also took place in the snow. But I thought Hateful Eight was wonderful. I loved it.
Yeah, I do want to see that.
It's a Quentin Tarantino movie, and there's a lot of talking. But whereas opposed to the talking in Revenant, which there was, the guy who was in Mad Max, he actually played Mad Max. He's one of the guys in Revenant, and I can never understand his accent in this one. It was so strong. It was hard for me to tell what he was saying half the time.
So that is
And
that one where you turn on the closed caption if it's on DVD?
yeah, well, I turn it on most of the time
Perfect.
anyway, just because I have that bad ear. If I turn my head one way, I won't be able to hear it. So, yeah. But Hateful Eight, I don't want to give anything away on that, but the acting is like fucking way better to me than Revenant. And the dialogue is like what makes that movie. And it's like a slow build up, like with a hell of a lot of payoff at the end. You know what I mean? It's really good. But I'm a Quentin Tarantino fan, so like I can't name one Tarantino movie that I didn't like, so
So you know what you're getting into.
I know what I'm getting, and I actually go I pay to see all of his movies at the theater. There's only like the first two that I watched on DVD, and then since then I've actually gone to see every one of them at the theater. Do you have any others you want to mention before we wrap this baby up?
Hang on, let me see if there's any. I guess I should say on the TV side, my son and I are watching Just Add Magic on Amazon Prime, which is a new kid show, original to Prime original show. Or at least they got the rights to it. And we love it. I talked about it on the show before. It's good because it's one that it's a kid show, but it's actually interesting for me to watch as well. So,
All ages.
yeah, it's a good all ages story. And it's about these three grade school girls who find a magic cookbook, and there's a mystery as to who originally owned the book, and with some strange characters in town. So it's got some depth to it. So, and the acting is above where I would expect it to be in a show like this. So it's really well done. So it's a good one for anyone with kids who wants to have something that they can actually watch with them and not get bored to tears.
Yeah. I found out there was a lot of shows that I could watch on, if I was really a TV guy. because there's a lot of good shows out there. But that could wrap up this episode then. And you can reach Bill at bill@comicbooknoise.com or me, Mike, at comicbooknoise.com or Micah, I'm sure he checks it, at comicbooknoise.com. And we're on Comic Geek. What are we on? Geek Brunch.
Geek Brunch Podcast.com.
And on Twitter, at DBM00, at Mike Myers Brunch. And we're on Facebook. You could look at Geek Brunch Podcast. And we hope to be back in 2 weeks. I don't know if I'll do more business travel, but I'll let you know, Bill. Hopefully not. But that'll wrap us up. You want to say bye-bye?
No.
Say bye-bye, Bill.
Bye-bye. Talk to you next episode.
Yep. Bye-bye.